Just if you have your Bibles with you, if you could please turn to a passage of Scripture I would use every time that I give my testimony, and it's found in 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17. And again, just as you find that passage of Scripture, I would like to again thank the Reverend John Gray for his very kind invitation to come along and testify and sing. There's always a hitch or two along the way, but thank goodness I've got the music going, or else I'd have been singing without music. But thank the Lord we've got it sorted out. And we'd like to thank the Reverend Gray for his kind invitation. It is a real joy to be down tonight. It's a beautiful part of the country. We had a Journey of Mercies on the way down. We had a great little spin down from Armagh. And of course, we bring you greetings from our own church in Armagh, from the elders and committee of Armagh. So just we'll turn over to this passage of Scripture. And just before we do, if we just bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll just ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, even for your hand upon the meeting already, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that above everything, Lord, that you will be in control, Lord. We just pray tonight, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to saint and sinner alike, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Journey of Mercies down already. We thank you, Lord, that most of all, from this testimony and from the singing, that the Lord will be glorified. We just pray now, Lord, that you'll open the ears of our heart, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak. And Lord, hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord. And most of all, may you shine forth. In your name we pray. Amen. So 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17. And that as a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. From the outset, I have entitled my testimony, The Faith as a Boy Brought Grace as a Man. The Faith as a Boy Brought Grace as a Man. As you've already heard in the introduction, my name is Paul Elliott. I'm from Armagh. And not to give my age away too much, I was born in the 70s. Married to Lisa, with three children who are with me tonight. We've got Amy, who's 11. Jessica, who's 9, and Sam, who is coming 5, and I hope he's behaving. I think he is. I'm the son of Trevor and Josephine Elliott. I'm also a brother to Deborah, a twin of Gary, and an older brother to Stephen and Jonathan. From the outset, could I just make it very clear, abundantly clear, that I don't stand here on my own merits tonight. Because I couldn't, I would fall well short of God's standard. I stand here because I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And my prayer for the testimony tonight, as I've already prayed, is that God is glorified. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that's how I stand here tonight, because I have a faith in the Saviour. I had a great privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, and what a privilege that is. It is a real blessing, and something that actually should be treasured by each young person, even in the meeting tonight. I attended and was brought up from my early years in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. I attended Sunday school and attended lots of children's meetings, Bible camps and singing groups. At a very young age, at these children meetings, I was reciting scripture for money. I actually thought that was a very good deal. And as we still do today with the young people, I'm sure down in Enniskillen here we're no different. We give the children sweets. I developed a very sweet tooth because I learnt these passages of scripture. I also was a member of the Boys Brigade, right up through junior section, and right to an officer where I was taught about the advancement of Christ's kingdom amongst boys. I learned at a very, very young age that the Bible was true. And most importantly, I also learned and discovered myself that you can't just cherry pick the bits that you like and airbrush the bits that you don't like. That the Bible is the infallible word of God, and thank God for it in our mother tongue. That we still have the liberty to open the scriptures. And I learnt the Bible was true. I learnt as well that we have a soul that lives forever. And because of Adam's sin, we would be cut off from God. And I needed to repent. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And that is applicable to every single person here tonight. We have inherited Adam's sin. We can't get away from the fact of it. What do we have to do not to get to God's heaven? It's just do nothing, because we have the sin that we were born with. But thank God there is a way that has been provided for eternal life. I also learnt that Jesus was a substitute for my sin when he died on the cross and shed his precious blood. I was taught as a child that there was a heaven and there was a hell. And let me tell you tonight, there's many messages that are being given out tonight where there's no mention of hell. And it's only when we come back and start to preach that not only is there a heaven to gain, that there is a hell to shun. I was also taught that not everybody gets into heaven. Revelation 21, verse 27, explains this very clear. Now, these are passages of scripture that I have chosen out, that the Lord has led me to. These are not my own words. It's in black and white. It can't be any plainer. It says in Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Unsaved in the meeting tonight, can you claim your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? Because it says in God's word that it must be. It must be written in the Lamb's book of life if we're to inherit eternal life in heaven with our Lord and Saviour. As a child, age 7, I asked Jesus to forgive my sin, even at such a young age. And that's a lesson to any of us here tonight that are involved in young people's work. Did you realise that the majority of people get saved before the age of 12. That's true. That's a true fact. A very impressionable age. And you know what a blessing it is to be saved at such a young age. Because not only is your soul saved forever, your life is saved on this earth, where we can go on and glorify and serve God. As a child age 7, I asked Jesus to forgive my sin. And even as at such a young age, God was preparing me for the future. One major event in my life, age 11, left an indelible mark. And to be honest, left a massive void in my life and shaped me as a person. To put it into some sort of a context, on the 22nd of May 2013, soldier and drummer Lee Rigby was murdered in cold blood, an attack that was motivated by religious hatred. on the 13th of April, 1983, 31 years ago, my father, who was a colour sergeant and a drummer with the Royal Irish Rangers, was murdered in Kerry Main Street by terrorists, again, an attack that was motivated by religious hatred. One minute we were playing out with my brothers and sisters, and the next thing we were having the news of my father's passing broken to us by an Elam pastor, Pastor Carnduff. At a young age, I was aware of the troubles. I grew up in that era. I knew that some of my father's friends and colleagues had been murdered also. I knew that my father could be a target for such an attack, and I spoke about it with my friends. I was a lad that grew up in the Troubles. I knew what it was all about. Darkly was one of the worst, as it was an attack on God's people. I knew the families of that little church, and I went to school with the victims' children. But I have to tell you, the night we're standing here, and I don't have to preach that to you down in Enniskillen, each one of you know the hurt and the pain that Troubles brought in 1987 to this particular part of the country. So I know that I wasn't in a unique position, and even 30 years on, it's still, and I miss my father, and I'm sure the families down here have suffered the same, and the pain is still real. So at age 11, I remember my father's funeral in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church, and watched my father, just age 38, with the Union Jack draped round the coffin, his hat and his belt on top, the gun salute and the piper's lament at the graveside, with all the pomp and ceremony being lowered into the ground. And that's when it hit me the most, and I cried unashamedly at a lad age 11. I don't think I've cried since. I've become very hard and wanted to be strong for those around me. You know, you could ask this young boy, how did I do that? Well, I can point you to another portion of scripture, and it says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, just if you have your Bibles with you again, if you turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, and this is how I got through those very dark days of my life. I'm just setting the background to what happened all those years ago. And the Lord pointed me to this little verse just 2 or 3 days ago, and I just thought I would share it with you. In Matthew chapter 5 and in the verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Isn't that a great promise? You know, people here tonight, do you ever claim the promises of God? God has said that he's not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness. You know, that's the answer. We have a lot of problems in our daily lives, but God is our refuge. And you know, even in such a tragic circumstance, I'm pleased to say that the Lord comforted me. Says, blessed are they that mourn, and they shall be comforted. But I have to tell you something very, very important about my father. What a great way to go with all the pomp and ceremony, as I have illustrated to you at the funeral. See, my father was a Christian. A great example in prayer, because on the very day that he passed away, he attended an early morning prayer meeting in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. He was a great example to us, even in such a short time that we had with him, on the precepts that he set in our home, the godly home that we had. But most importantly, people here tonight, he was a great example in death, because he was ready to go. He had prepared to meet the Lord. And that's a question that we all must ponder tonight. We must ponder Are we ready to meet the Lord? If we were to be taken out into eternity, would we be ready to meet the Lord? I pray that we are all ready to meet God. You know, it wasn't plain sailing for me. I was angry and I was bitter. In my late teens, I knew that there was avenues I could have went down seeking justice for what happened. But thank God he kept me from it.
Amen.
I knew as even a young boy, as a Christian, that it was wrong to take the law into your own hands. Because God says, again, another promise. Romans 12 verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I thank God that he took me down another way in the shape of a band that I am still a member of. He knew that I had a passion for music and a passion for bands. And let me tell you here tonight, there's a lot of Christians frown at the fact of Christians being involved in bands. And there's a lot of outreach, I know, that goes on, even with in our own church, you know, for the unsafe Catholic folk. But there's a great area in bands of young men that are not right with God. And thank God that he has used me that way. In that band, I have been surrounded with many Christian friends, and have to say some unchristian friends who are friends. Real good friends to me, and they respect me for what I am, and I take a stand in that way. You know, the Lord wants us to go out and to do outreach for him, and I thank God that he's placed me in this. At a very young age, he gave me a lot of responsibility in the home as well. I thought it was my duty as the eldest son to help my mother as much as possible. But it takes courage to be a Christian. Even at such a young age, right through the teens, you need to be mentally tough. And especially, I have to say, being small, I'm standing beside the Reverend Grey here tonight, and he's hardly a grey hair in his head, and I'm standing here not much taller than 5 foot, and going grey, and I tell you, I'm going grey worrying about going bald. But, you know, you have to be mentally tough, especially being small. And thank God he gave me the ability to fight any battle and walk with me along the way. But my main motivation for keeping the faith was seeing my father with Jesus. And you know, see, when I go out, my father will be there to meet me. You know, and that's a lesson again. Is there somebody in the glory tonight that belongs to you? Will you be reunited with them? Because I know as a drummer, myself and as a drummer, or as my father being a drummer, he'll be ready to meet me. And I look forward to that day. You know, even through my teenage years, right through, you know, you always have questions, tragedies. As I've already hit on tonight, we're all so familiar with them. Why did they happen? Why do the good die young and sometimes evil is rewarded with long life? Matthew 10 verse 28 explains this. "And fear not them that which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, why sometimes the worst sinner lives the longest? God is long-suffering, and he's not willing that anyone should perish. That's why he keeps calling you. That's why he keeps speaking to you, when you hear that still small voice in your head. And if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, you pray that the Lord will continue to speak to you. Because it's an awful thought that if he suddenly stops, and you live through your life without ever being called again. You know, when Jesus is passing, that's the time to embrace him. You know, it's just like a mobile phone. If you don't want to talk, you just turn it off or switch it to silent, or you ignore it. And the question is, do you ignore God when he speaks to you with that still small voice. As I say, music is my passion. Drumming, particularly, is in my veins. On the 30th anniversary last year, on the passing of my father, we thought that we would do something as a family. And it was decided to unveil a Lambeg drum as a lasting memorial for the family and the grandchildren. You know, we've done that, and I have to tell you this, I have some unsaved family members, and what we done with that particular evening is we got the Reverend McMillan along from Armagh Free Presbyterian, and the Reverend McMillan's there, and the gospel is to be preached. I can assure you, he doesn't miss and hit the wall. He was absolutely brilliant. We gathered our whole family in as a way of outreach, and we unveiled that Lambeg drum as a lasting memorial to my father. And you know, his testimony was even glorified that night as well, and the Lord was glorified. And you know, from that, my brother has got saved.
Amen.
You know, the Lord using something, using my father's testimony, even to reach to my brother. I'll tell you a wee bit about Jonathan. And in no uncertain terms, I have to tell you, the way Jonathan lived his life, he played hard and he worked hard. And he done things that he possibly would stand here and tell you that he regretted. But I'll tell you here tonight, he's on fire for the Lord. His girlfriend has got saved. I'll tell you about a wee story as well. He was away, he's a tailor by trade, and he went working one day for these Christian folk, and he found this box of tracks. He found this box of tracks, and he said to the owners of the house, "The Lord's telling me to do something to them tracks." And he asked, he said, "Could you give me 100 of those tracks?" And he's involved in a band as well. He's in a more musical band than I am. He's involved in the pipe bands, and he went to the pipe band that night with those tracks. Very difficult thing. He's not that long saved, only in October. And he said he battled with the Lord all day about these tracks. He gave those tracks out. One of the drummers has been saved from it. You know, so the Lord is sovereign.
Amen.
The band has been a real blessing to me. I have the respect of the members. Their friendship means more to me than their membership. You know, I have been given the privilege of having an influence on young people. As a Christian in that band, my life is being read. Others can see the difference. God has surrounded me with so many friends, Christian friends, unsaved friends as well. I'm very proud of my involvement in it. It's our culture and it's our tradition that we are all so proud of, and I'm not ashamed of it. But I can tell you here tonight that is not the most important thing in my life. The most important thing is my faith and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And I hope within that bond that He can use me. You know, our forefathers were God-fearing. Their cry was for God and Ulster. God first and country second. Regretfully, this is a far cry from what we have today. Ulster maybe, but not God. You know, I went into a backsliding stage in my life. Thank God, even within that band, that there was Christian friends that were able to take me aside. And a wee word in season. You know, did you ever do that? Just a wee encouraging word to somebody. You know, I'm involved in the youth in our church. And I say to the young people on several occasions, you know, each Tuesday night before they leave, tell somebody about the Saviour this week. Tell somebody about God. Drop it into the conversation. You know, if you pray for the opportunities, He'll give it to you. You know, as I say, I went into backsliding stage in my life. God then started to surround me again. You know it says in God's word that he is married to the backslider. And I felt that in my life. I got a job offer. And the owners were Christians. I then bought a new house. Bought the house first. The other house beside me wasn't sold. The person that bought it was my youth leader in a wee place called Milford Christian Fellowship. And God started to surround me with Christian people again. And you know, I felt the guilt of the way I was living my life. I settled down and got married to Lisa. And she was a calming influence. And when the children come along, I was just too tired to act aged any longer. But one Sunday morning, I slept in. And anybody who knows the Elliots, I can tell you, were fond of a bit of sleep. Sleep anywhere. But I slept in one Sunday morning. And I got this urge at about 20 past 11. I had been attending another church, not Armagh Free Presbyterian, another church in Armagh City. And I got this urge to go back to my own church that Sunday morning where the Reverend Ron Johnson was speaking. And he was speaking about backsliders. He was speaking about my spirit will not always strive with man. Maybe you're a backslider in the meeting tonight. And I would appeal to you, if you hear God calling you, just like I did that Sunday morning. You know, we had to give a response. I had to give a response. It was either yes, Lord, I'm coming with you this time, or no, walk out the door. Thank God that he gave me grace to decide to come back to him. You know, I decided it was now or never, and he gave me great courage to do it. The Lord has done great things in my life. The Lord has given me two beautiful daughters and a son, a very understanding wife. I'll tell you, somebody that I haven't mentioned yet, he gave me a great mother. A very quiet, unassuming woman. I have to tell you, who is very, very strong. Strong arms right enough when we needed a cuff around the ear. And mind you, we got it many times. But a real inspiration of someone who can cope with adversity. Thank God my mother saved his word as well. I couldn't even explain to you or give you the words that would pay the proper tribute to my mother. God has given me household salvation and given me a big burden to come back to Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. Again, a promise. He never gave up on me and he never forsook me. He comforted me at my lowest point. God continued to supply my every need, which is far above my expectations. As I say, he led me back to Armagh Free Presbyterian Church and he challenged me to do something for God. You know, I had run about in bands for a long time and didn't do anything. I was a Christian, okay. But God challenged me to do something for him. And I took up that challenge, and that was working with the youth. Laura, sergeant, the girl that runs the youth, approached me. I think she was looking to get somebody that was on their level, and she got the right man. They're all bigger than me, but I got involved in the youth anyway, and he's using me to reach others. His guiding hand is so evident in my life, especially through the sickness of my little daughter, Jessica, who has had an ongoing kidney complaint since she was 2. And the doctors told us that she's resistant to all the antibiotics that they can give her. But we're just taking each day as it comes. She's had a year clear, then she fell sick again over Easter. And it's a bit of a setback. But, you know, the Lord is sovereign. And we're just praying that he'd touch Jessica. You know, that leads me to the finish of the meeting tonight, and I want to pose a few questions. As I've already said, has someone's death spoken to you? Is there somebody in heaven that belongs to you? Will you be reunited with them? I gave my testimony not that long ago down in one of our other churches. and I made these questions, I posed these questions. In the meeting that evening was a man along with his daughter. He hadn't attended the church in 5 years. And I posed these questions. He had just buried his wife on the Friday in the church. His wife had left him a letter pleading with him to get right with God, pleading with him to be reunited with her in heaven. What a message. You know, God has his people in places where he needs them. Are you breaking somebody's heart, possibly your parents, your wife or your husband, because of your indifference to the things of God? You know, can I pose a question tonight? What are you depending on to get you to heaven? Are you depending on Christian parents? Because I have to be faithful to God and tell you tonight, it won't make one bit of difference if you have Christian parents. And it's great, it's a privilege if you do. It's a personal faith. You know, going to church, and it's good to go to church, will not get you to heaven. Religion will not get you to heaven. Tradition will not get you to heaven. Good works will not get you to heaven. As I say, all these things have a place. But first and foremost, you must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. In Ephesians chapter 2 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Again, that's a portion of scripture. It's in black and white. You can't get away from it. You can't just airbrush it out. It says, not of works. If you're trying to get to heaven by your own way, you're not going to get there. You know, this part of the country would be keen on boats. I have a particular interest in the Titanic because it sank on the same date my father was buried. Sure, the date. You know, on that Titanic ship, there was two lists. There was one for the lost, and there was one for the saved. And you know, that's just like heaven. That's just like the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight? What list are you on tonight? Are you on the lost list, or are you on the saved list? It is our prayer that you be on the saved list. You know, you're not lost, but you have a Saviour that will really embrace you if you come to him tonight. We pray that you do that. Maybe you think you're the unsinkable ship. Didn't they say that about the Titanic? Not even God could sink it. Well, it was sank. What arrogance. You know, says in Proverbs 27, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, do you think you're the unsinkable person? The sickness will not come. Sickness and death will happen. I have first-hand experience of a sudden death in a family, and thank God my father was ready to go. I hope, as I close here tonight, that you will really ponder your state before God. My prayer is tonight that you'll be prepared to meet your God. That when you put your head on the pillow tonight, you know that you're saved. And if you're on that lost list tonight, consider it. If God is speaking to your heart, do something about it. You know, Paul Elliott can't save you. Reverend John Gray can't save you. But thank God the Lord can save you. Lord Jesus Christ can save you. And I can tell you tonight, you see, your prayer, you offer it up and give your life to the Lord. The prayer of a sinner's heart is the quickest thing that will get to heaven. And you know they'll rejoice. That person that's maybe in the glory belong to you will rejoice. We pray that you do that tonight. Thank you very much. Amen.